Sebastian, good morning.
Morning to you.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Work-related insomnia, is this a new phenomenon?
Look, it's hard to make an assessment. One of the real issues we have here is about the lack of information we have altogether. So Superfan data is so interesting because it opens up, I guess, a new insight into the nature of mental health problems being faced by many people, which then gives us a chance to think about how we can try to organise responses. And one thing I would say, Sean, is that I really think that the workplace is one of the last areas, one of the last bastions for us to really start to think about what we need to do to organise ourselves to have good mental health.
Mm.
And you know, to be fit and alert and productive. There's certainly a lot of evidence to indicate that. Well, let me ask you a question. Where do you think your mental health is at its sharpest?
Oh, that's an interesting question. At its sharpest?
Yeah, I guess I don't want to lead you astray. I mean, often people sort of think, well, look, my mental health is at its best when I'm on holidays or I'm with my family or I'm relaxing and so on. That might be a natural thing for people to think. But in fact, there's a lot of good evidence to indicate that where your mental health is at its best is actually at work, when you are being productive and you're working constructively as part of a team perhaps and so on. And so it makes it all the more important that this space, which, let's face it, it takes up a lot of our time in our lives, going to work and being productive and so on, is a healthy place to be. And so I think this is really interesting research.
It makes a lot of sense. If you're a full-time worker, you're working 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, it is the majority of your waking hours.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, I think we've now at the point where we've got, public access to psychology services, which is making a lot of difference for many people. And, of course, there are some other mental health services. And I think, you know, someone like me is going to tell you that there's never going to be enough services and so on. But what I would say is that in particular in relation to the workplace, thinking about the role of the workplace and thinking about what employers and employees can do to make the workplace a better place for mental health and a mentally healthy place is really critical.
Mm. One that stands out to me, though, is not just within the workplace itself, but the way technology especially has influenced people in taking their work home with them. I know a lot of people, you know, sit there with the old mobile phone. Myself, personally, I put it down. I don't really look at my phone once I get home after 5 o'clock in the evening. But, you know, a lot of people have their phone by them, still expecting those work emails to come through, maybe expecting a Facebook message from colleagues and the like, and still stressing over work-related matters after they come home. Has that had a significant impact on our work-life balance?
No, I think there's a strong case to say that it has. And Sean, all I can say is I completely admire your willpower. I wish I was strong. I think it has fundamentally changed the way people approach their work. Look, I think we need to be clear here too. On one hand, it gives us a great deal of flexibility. It opens up the prospect of things like being able to work from home, from having more flexible approaches to working because you're able to stay in touch with work and continue to contribute even if you're not sitting at your desk. And you will have heard of a phenomenon called presenteeism as well, where people just turn up for work, but they're not really there. They're not really thinking. So I think we need to be mindful of that too in relation to technology. Similarly, I would have said that technology is also offering us some of the solutions. It's some of the ways of being able to monitor sleep patterns and monitor mood, monitor screen time, and a whole range of those kinds of things, which allow us a chance to, I guess, regain a semblance of control when you feel like, you know, you might just be being buffeted a bit by change.
Mm. You know, talking about overworking and the like and stressing over these work-related matters, my mind kind of jumps to the work culture of a place like Japan, where sometimes falling asleep at your desk is seen as a very positive thing by bosses, because it just proves you are absolutely working yourself down to the bone. Here in Australia, I don't think we're at that point right now, but do we have issues in some workplaces where we are glamorising overworking?
I think there's a strong case for that as well. I do think that I've seen statistics which indicates that the number of hours that Australians work in comparison to other nations, and it ranks very, very high. And then, you know, you think about everything you get from working to do with not just financial rewards and material rewards, but also social status and other things. And there's no doubt that Australians are committing themselves in that regard very strongly. So again, I say that you know, steps which people can take to achieve a better work-life balance, including the way they work, and the appreciation of the contribution of good mental health to productivity, I think is one of the great challenges facing facing an organised response to mental health and mental illness in Australia for the rest of this century.
Absolutely. Well, Sebastian, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
It's a pleasure. Many thanks for the opportunity to have a chat.